For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome in to another edition of the JMU Sports News Podcast. I'm Bennett Conlin, joined by Jack Fitzpatrick. And what a whirlwind the last few days have been.
What a 24 hours. Not even last. Oh, I guess, yeah, whirlwind dating back to Friday. But even the last 24 hours, it has been terrible.
Yeah, tough 24 hours, right? They get into the NCAA tournament, the men's basketball team. Everyone's excited. They kind of beat the crap out of Wisconsin, dominant showing. They lead wire to wire. Then Duke boat races them. I mean, it looked like a 1 versus 16. It was pretty ugly.
It was Jared McCain deciding to go 6 for 6 to start from behind the arc.
He was hot, right? He goes for 30. If you take out his 30, JMU still loses the game. So that adds some context to how bad that one was. But an incredible season. Obviously, a sour way to end it. Incredible season. People are excited. During the game, sort of the only silver lining during the game is West Virginia hires Drake's head coach. Everyone's like, oh my gosh, we dodged this bullet. Handshake agreement, my butt, right? Whatever hands were being shook meant nothing. Fingers crossed behind the back, maybe, while that was going on. And then today, Mark Byington, it's announced, first reported, and then finally confirmed. We're all waiting with bated breath that Mark Byington is leaving for Vanderbilt.
Yeah, the West Virginia handshake agreement didn't mean anything because at the end of the day, it wasn't even West Virginia. It was a completely other school, completely different school that none of us had even put on our radars. I mean, I remember talking about it with some people. They're like, well, what about Louisville? I was like, no, they're going to go splashy. What about Washington State? They went Danny Sprinkle right away. What about West Virginia? Darren DeVries, he went there. It was all these other schools, and it looked like all of the seats were being filled. And the only seat remaining in my mind was Louisville. And then I've heard that they don't really want to go with a Mark Byington type. So I was like, okay, well, then that's going to be filled by someone else. Didn't even think about Vanderbilt. Never crossed my mind that Marky Mark could be going to Vandy Vandy in Nashy Nashy. But here we are. He's heading to Nashville. And it really stinks that Jerry Stackhouse was so bad at his job, he got fired, and it's bringing us all this pain. Before we dive into the rest of the podcast, the tournament is here. BetOnline is your bracket headquarters this season with the best bracket contest out there and odds, lines, and info on every game and every round right up until the national championship. You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or mobile device. You can even track your bracket real-time all the way through the tournament. Head to BetOnline today and get in on the action. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE, promo code BLEAV, to get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
There's a reason Christopher William Jewelers has been voted best of Virginia year after year. It's not just one thing that sets us apart. It's everything. It's the selection, extensive and unmatched, with every engagement ring, loose diamond, and fashion jewelry chosen for quality and brilliance. It's the service. From our diamond experts to our master goldsmith, our team shares a passion for what they do, and it shows. It's the atmosphere, both glamorous and laid back. See for yourself why people can't stop talking about Christopher William Jewelers in Harrisonburg and Weir's Cave.
May have crack of cold here, may have clouds to really deal with this news.
It's tough news. It's tough news. But hey, three notch makes it a lot easier to deal with. So shout out to our boys and girls at Three Notch. We love Three Notched. My internet connection doesn't love me as much, but hey, very excited that we've still partnered with them through basketball season. And who thought basketball season would go this long? Not me. But anyway, check out Three Notched Monday, Minuteman Mondays. That's today. Congrats to them. $3 Minuteman pours. Tuesdays, half off cases. I know this. I can do this before the little ticker. And Friday, First Tap Fridays. Every Friday, they release a new brew in the Valley Collab House. Great beer. I wish it was more widely distributed in my area. But hey, good beer.
If you're in Virginia, though, it is pretty well distributed in Virginia. Not only is it well distributed, they have tap rooms across the Commonwealth, Richmond, Virginia Beach, Roanoke, their flagship in Charlottesville, Harrisonburg, of course, and their new location out in Nelson County. Not only beer, they have a lot of great bourbon. They are creating some delicious bourbon up in the mountains of Virginia. Carter Lindley. Our advertisers are going to love this. Coaches are temporary. Christopher William Jewelers ads are forever. You're not wrong. The Mark Byington era is over. It was a great era, but life as a mid-major sucks.
That's what I was just going to say, man. This sucks. Like, it is absolutely brutal. I was just thinking about this. That's the first thing I was going to say, too, is it's so frustrating. And it's nobody's fault to, because it's like a place that we're not going to quit, right? We're going to keep showing up every year and watching JMU basketball. And it's so tough to land.
We went through the Lou Rowe era. Of course, we're going to end the Matt Brady era.
And shout out to Lou Rowe, who a previous podcast, I said he was at South Florida. He's at Oregon. They won an NCAA tournament game. Shout out Lou Rowe.
Maybe
run
he's
it back.
A rebel.
Run it back.
He's learned from his mistakes.
Maybe run it back. But anyway. It's just devastating because you get a coach who's great. You get all these players who are great. And then they just sort of go elsewhere. And then they say all the nice things. They say all the right things, right? It's like, I loved it. I could have retired here. Like, oh my God, I just could have retired here. And it's frustrating as fans to be like, just do it then. Like if it would be so great, just do it. And obviously I know why they don't. The money, right? The career aspirations, the NIL money to build a better roster. I get it, but it's just brutal as a JMU fan to be like, your team reaches this height and it's like, oh, we're building. And it's like they are building, but then they also have to almost rebuild, retool, reload so often. It's just so hard.
I mean, Mark Byington had to do that every year he was at JMU. Every offseason, it was like, there are four gaping holes. The one constant was Terrence Edwards, and it was just like, and Julian Wooden. And they got all the praise, as they should be, throughout this kind of NCAA tournament run where they were like, this doesn't happen in college basketball. And I think Byington understood that. He's like, I have two Sun Belt conference team caliber players in Wooden and Terrence Edwards. I got them for 6 and 4 years. Like, that's not normal. And now not only did I have to rebuild the roster around them the last 3 years, but now I'm moving forward every year with JMU. I'm going to have to rebuild essentially a new star each and every time. I mean, Max A. Smith at Oral Roberts, maybe going a little bit not perfectly. They got 2 years with him at Oral Roberts. That's awesome. But then you had to do it all again. And the second he lost, no matter how good your coach is, if you don't have a guy putting up 25 points a night like Oral Roberts did, and they had their whole team kind of center around Max A. Smith, it all falls apart. So what's to say JMU gets a fantastic recruit in, an under-recruited Jalen Carey type, who starts dropping 15 and 10 across the Sun Belt, he's gone the next year. And then you have to figure out how to retool through the portal. And now with the two-time transfer whole process, you can get a transfer portal guy who in the past, may you could have had him for 2 years or 3 years. Now you get him for 1 year, he's going to enter the portal again. I'm all for player mobility. I'm all for, you know, player empowerment. But it does get a little sad, a little annoying as mid-major fans. And I also, I'm going to finish out this thought by just saying, I wish coaches had more self-faith. Because I think when Mark Byington and even Kurt Cignetti, when they said, you know, I want to retire here, I can see myself retiring here, the grass isn't, like all of those things, I think they truly meant it in that moment. I think Mark Byington, I think coaches have this weird thing where they never think they are good enough. Probably because in the profession, your job almost never ends by your own free will. It always ends with you being fired because you aren't good enough or you fall apart, whatever it may be. So coaches have this like intrinsic way of thinking about themselves. So in Mark Byington's mind, he probably didn't think he was going to get called from P6 schools. When he was saying that it's amazing at JMU, he's excited to finish here. His kid loves it. He wants to retire here. He probably did. And he probably meant that on Tuesday. And then whenever Vanderbilt came calling, he's like, oh, I'm good. I don't think he fully realized that a week ago.
Maybe. I hate the retirement quote. That's the one that bothers me the most. And all these people are, I feel like a lot of Jamie fans are like, well, what's he supposed to say? Or other fan bases, like, what are they supposed to say? I know that he's not going to go in his press conference or with the Washington Post interview days before they play Wisconsin and be like, yeah, I'm leaving. Have you seen P6 money? Like, of course, that would be an extremely strange quote. But you could also be like, I love it. It would take an incredible opportunity to pull me away. And I'm focused on what's next. Just don't say the retirement thing. I don't know like why they gush so much where it's like, I would retire here. I would love it. Like, I don't think Mark Byington, I like Mark Byington a lot. I think he's a great coach, great person. There's no way he thought he was going to retire at JMU. Like, they're 32 wins. They're cooking. He'd already been floated for the West Virginia job.
That's a good point.
I don't know. I don't totally buy the, like, I thought I was going to retire. I could see him being okay with it because, like, hey, the fan base is good. I've got a good thing going. I think he's being honest there.
That's a good point.
It just bothers me when they're like, I would retire there. It's like, Byington's not even 50. He's clearly trying to climb the coaching ladder, which is fine, but you don't have to, I don't know, just don't say the retirement stuff. I've seen some other people say that the reason for that is that maybe it gives your agent more negotiating tactic in the room with Vanderbilt or whoever. I don't think Vanderbilt believed it. Like, I don't think anyone actually believes he's going to retire.
Especially because the agent sat down with him. I think the second the agent sits down with Vanderbilt, you then lose all of that retirement leverage.
And it's like, what are they going to say, right? But you're kind of picking nits there. I just wish sometimes they would drop the full retirement gushing. I also wish somebody truly meant it. Like, I hope that somebody like Lou Rowe, like an alum who legit means I would stay there forever and try to be your Mark Few or Randy Bennett at St. Mary's or whatever. I hope that happens. I think that's kind of the spot JMU needs to eventually try to get to in football.
Tried with basketball. Lou Rowe, though.
But that was like he was a losing assistant at coaches. That's like throwing something at a wall and hoping it sticks.
A dart blindfolded while after being spun around 15 times.
Yeah, that one was a little bit of a desperate – we're sick of Matt Brady play, but they're in a better spot now hiring from strength, which is good. They also don't have a president. They don't have an athletic director. A little dicey if you're a new coach coming into that, right?
Yeah. I mean, it is a tough spot. Within the course of the last 5 months, JMU, I guess going all the way back to when Jeff Bourne, so let's make it 7 months. Yeah. In the course of 7 months, it's been announced that their athletic director will be leaving at the end of the athletic year. Their president is gone at the end of the academic year. They lost their all-time winningest in terms of overall, like, winning percentage coach in football. And now you lost Mark Byington, who rebuilt your program to the glory days. And you lost
them
all. And you lost them all. And JMU fans, doing a great job, myself included. I think yourself included. Everyone I'm seeing on Twitter, doing a very good job of not waving the white flag of surrender, saying college athletics has beaten me as a fan. I'm real close to it, if I'm being honest. If all of a sudden we get news that Shelly Clays is gone, the white flag might come out.
It's getting really tough, man. It's been a tough year, which is crazy too, because it's been such a successful year. It's like, that's I think what's kind of beating me is, like, if you're a mid-major, it's like, yeah, you did it. Congrats. Now all those people who did it are leaving. It's like, what? Are you going to do it again? And that's the part that's kind of tough. But I do hope that the season doesn't get lost in the shuffle here, because the news cycle moves so quickly.
Yeah.
32-4. They beat Michigan State and Wisconsin. Unbelievable group. Terrence Edwards is a JMU legend. Just so fun to watch them against Wisconsin, but really all season. And I think at least we enjoyed that from the beginning. I think the bandwagon sort of grew pretty quickly, but I don't know how many people were really tuned in for some of those, like, early January games that we were, like, all streaming and texting in some group chats with. That was a ton of fun. It was fun to watch them navigate conference play and dominate teams. It was fun to watch them struggle against App and then be like, oh, let's see how they rally the rest of the year. And then they won 14 in a row, including Wisconsin in the NCAA tournament. Like, that's a sweet team that deserves a ton of praise. And it does kind of suck that it's like, season's over, coach is gone within 24 hours. Portal stuff probably going to start tomorrow.
I mean, tomorrow we're going to see Terrence enter the portal and or declare for the NBA draft.
Right.
Jalen Carey maybe gone. Xavier Brown. Like, just hold on, because there's a good chance Carey's gone, Brown's gone, Horton's gone. Michael Green graduates. TJ Bickerstaff graduates. There could be no one from that 8-man rotation.
Well, anyway, right? Friedel wouldn't.
Friedel graduates.
Yeah.
Jarrell Roberson, who was, like, supposed to be the 5, who got some play time in the early season, might enter the portal. So then you lose that guy.
Amadi entered last year. They had to convince him to come back. We'll see what happens with Quincy Allen. It could be Quincy Allen. And you got to build a roster. You got nobody else on the team. Like, it's just insane. And it doesn't seem, on the college athletics front, entirely, obviously they had a lot of graduations, but entirely sustainable. At some point, they're probably going to have the guys become employees and then go from there and have some stability. Because it is nuts for a team like JMU to reach the mountaintop, essentially, for them at a mid-major, right, and almost get to the Sweet 16 for the first time ever. Just lose everything, like, a day later.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
But so Vanderbilt makes the hire. He'll head to Nashville. Jerry Stackhouse reportedly was making around $1.1 million per year. Mark Byington.
Is that it?
That was in 2020.
That's a terrible SEC salary.
So Byington was making $445,000, though, this past year base.
Okay.
So, I mean,
I got him. Well, oh, hold on. Let me check that somewhere else.
Okay. I got 1.1 on my
shirt. I had 3.1 in 2020.
Okay. Oh, my bad. I misspoke. I wrote down 3.1.
Okay. That makes a lot more sense.
My deepest apologies. I know I get a lot of things wrong. I don't know a lot of people, apparently.
I don't know anyone.
I make a lot of apologies on that one. $3.1 million Jerry Stackhouse was getting as the head coach at Vanderbilt. He's gone. You got to imagine Byington is checking in at least three. Yeah. At least. Probably more than 3.1, because if he has a good agent, which I think we know he does, you use 3.1 as your floor. And to lure yourself away from JMU, which you could argue kind of like the Dusty May stuff, he could have negotiated that to get, you know, maybe around $1 million a year. So he's getting a huge pay bump. And he's going to a Vanderbilt squad that a lot of people are saying that's where coaches go to die. No, no. Bryce Drew was bad. He took a very good Vanderbilt team and drove them into the ground. Jerry Stackhouse, a former, I believe he was a former Vanderbilt player, right?
He definitely played somewhere.
Thanks. Thanks, Bennett.
he was, he played in North Carolina, but then he went to Vandy. I think he just wanted any major head coaching job.
Okay. So Jerry Stackhouse, former player in the ACC, goes to the SEC, Vanderbilt, takes over a team around 155 in KenPom, gets them to be respectable, but can never really break through in the SEC. And he's coming off of arguably his worst year, a 9-23 year, 4-14 in SEC. And they could just, he was coming off an 11-7 year in the SEC. People thought he'd be able to kind of take that next step and get Vanderbilt in a good spot, but it's not where coaches go to die. Kevin Stallings was there from 2000 to 2016 and like had them cooking. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7 NCAA tournament appearances, 2 Sweet 16 appearances, and 3 times they made it past the first round. Like Vanderbilt, it's not an Alabama that we see what Nate Oates has done. It's not an Auburn with what Bruce Pearl has done, but it is a respectable SEC school in a good conference where he's making $3 million.
Yeah, if somebody came to me and was like, hey, you can write about sports betting for the Washington Post and they're going to triple your salary. Like, I don't care how much you like your team, you know what I mean? Or like the people you work with. It doesn't matter. Like if someone's tripling your salary to do the same thing, you're going to do it.
It ruffled I ruffled some JMU fans' feathers when Cignetti went to Indiana when I said this. But like, if you offered me a full-time salary to go podcast for Vanderbilt basketball, I'm taking that. I love JMU. We do this for free. I absolutely adore talking to you every week, Bennett, but bye. I'm sorry. If they said, go, we will pay you to live. We will give you a full-time salary to cover Vanderbilt athletics. I'd be like, cool. Where do I sign up? I'll watch their pitiful football team.
Yeah. My agent's been in contact with Vandy. We have a handshake deal. So,
well, we know how handshakes deal go.
Maybe I'll end up in West Virginia.
Perfect. I just want to kind of touch on what Byington did at JMU. And then we can go into potential next head coaches because we got ourselves a list. Before the podcast, I was diving into some other names. I want to throw them
by you.
Some good names, some bad names, some names. But I also have some conferences I think that JMU could really look at because those conferences have created a lot of coaches that have gone on to have good success.
I like that.
So Lou Rowe, he coached for JMU for 4 years before Byington came in. His best year was in 2018-19, a 14-19 record. That year, they started off 4-0, 2-0 against Division I opponents. He had a 43-85 record. Before that, it was Matt Brady, and it was very, very up and down.
Mid.
Very mid. Before that, it was Dean Keener, I believe.
Yeah, that was bad.
Dean Keener, that was also very bad. Sherman Dillard, also very bad. But the 4 years prior to Mark Byington, you can kind of do an A-B kind of comparison. 43-85. Byington takes over first year 13-7. Nearly gets to 14 wins, which would have matched Lou Rowe's best year in his first year.
In a shortened season.
In a shortened COVID year. Bad 21-22. You can blame a lot of different stuff. That was the year that they had their postseason taken away from them. And a lot of people, Mark Byington included, found every opportunity to use that as an excuse. After what he did the next 2 years, I think that is a very valid excuse. He rattles off 22 wins the next season, 32 this season. He finishes his JMU head coaching career with an 82-36 record. I don't mean to pile on Lou Rowe here. I just want to let you know, it would have taken to about 2029 for Mark Byington to reach the amount of career losses that Lou Rowe had in 4 years.
At his pace?
At his pace. He was averaging 9 losses a season.
Yeah. I mean, they were really playing at a high level. And the year, the right the year when they had the postseason ban. That was kind of a bummer. I think they beat UVA, Mason, and ODU at home. Like, so it was still... And
I think Radford on the road.
Yeah, so it was still like a way better year than anything they had put together previously. He's an incredible coach. He did a great job. I saw a few Vanderbilt fans be like, this doesn't move the needle for me. Shut up.
It might not, but it's going to next November when you guys are sitting there at like 8-2.
Great coach. I think he's awesome in the way that he lets guys make mistakes and doesn't chew them out. Like, he lets people learn from their mistakes and helps players develop, which is why they want to come back and not transfer. Really, really good coach. Also did JMU an incredible solid by agreeing to a contract extension, according to The Athletic, prior to the Sun Belt tournament. So I'm sure he was aware that he was getting floated as a potential option at Power Six schools. He agrees to a contract extension, which is certainly good for him, but the buyout increased if he left for a Power Five from $500,000 to $1 million. So JMU gets $1 million as a result of this.
That's huge. Not to mention the money that they then won for the Sun Belt in that one game. Granted, that is then split amongst all of the people, but a nice little last month for JMU Athletics in terms of money coming in. One more point, since 1997, when KenPom began tracking data, the Dukes have been ranked in the top 100 of KenPom three times. Twice have come under Mark Byington in the last 2 years. The last time was 2016 with Matt Brady in his final season.
He just completely raised the floor. I think he then also sparked sort of ideas of what the ceiling could be. People were dreaming, man. People were dreaming after that.
I still am dreaming. If they nail this higher, I mean, the ceiling is the sky.
They've shown in so many other sports that they can sort of outdo their spending and dominate conference peers. The goal is to be really competitive in the Sun Belt, be a competitive mid-major. But I think it's a reasonable thought that they should be sort of a top 100-ish team annually.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome. He rebuilt JMU. He took over a dumpster fire, a team that really hadn't had much relevancy on the national stage in multiple decades, turned them into something that was really something to be proud of as a JMU alum. Not only that, I think something to really, you said it, players stuck around. They wanted to play for him. He kept Matt Lewis, a holdover from the Lou Rowe era, into the Mark Byington era. He got Terrence Edwards to stay. And like you said, a very player-first guy. He let them dictate the shots. He never got mad if they took a good shot. If Jalen Carey pulled up from the top of the key, he didn't get mad because that was the shot that Jalen Carey thought was best in that possession. He was just a great player's coach, and I'm very excited to see what he does at Vanderbilt. Although he hasn't posted a graphic yet, and we saw what happened with Kurt Cignetti. I need a graphic.
Yeah, statement is nothing unless it's also on a graphic.
All right.
I will be mad.
So what's next? Let's look at some potential head coach hires. There are a lot out there. You wrote an article over at www.jmusportsnews.com. It's also linked on our Twitter, JMU Sports News. Everywhere you got to go. Breaking down some home run hires, some other fits. Let's break down some potential head coaching hires. Let's go one by one and just kind of talk it through.
All right, let's fire off some names. I went with, for this list, I went with current head coaches.
Because that's just what Bourne likes.
Yeah, because Bourne's making the hire, right? And they've got whatever it is, CSA, Collegiate Sports Associates, the consulting firm helping them out.
But they've association,
whatever it is, helping them out with the search. And in the past, they've leaned pretty heavily, Bourne in that group, toward people with head coaching experience, at least for the major hires like football and basketball. So I'm going to throw out Bucky McMillan because Samford's dope.
Bucky Ball.
He was I guess, like, not...
Get it out.
He wasn't necessarily, like, a top candidate, like, 4 years ago or even on anyone's radar. And I want to say he was at high schools before Samford.
He was.
And now Samford's just like a wagon. Like, they're sweet. They play really fast, similar to Byington. Like a close call away from beating Kansas,
a bad call.
So they're like already in the tournament, and sort of, like they were kind of at JMU's level this year. Like if they, those two teams played, it would have been a really fun game. So the issue there is, of course, going to be like, can you up the salary to a point that matters to him, especially considering they're playing so well that in college basketball, maybe even more so than college football, you can go from a low level to like a power job fairly easily. So I don't know if you can sway him. That would be a challenge.
Yeah, but Samford to JMU is a nice step. I love that one. He was my number one on my list. An interesting one that I want to run by you. It's not on your list.
Love it.
Brian Wardle, Bradley's head coach. He's been there for 9 years. Would he go Missouri Valley to Sunbelt, though? That's what I'm not sure of. He makes $800,000 a year. He rebuilt Bradley. He's turned them into a perennial contender in the Missouri Valley. He's only coached in the Midwest. He took Green Bay, turned Green Bay into an absolute power. But I think he kind of fits in the rough price range for JMU, probably a little bit more on the higher end where you're going to have to spend a lot plus a high buyout. And Missouri Valley tends to go from Missouri Valley to Power Six, not to another, you know, mid-major, specifically a low major. That's more of a off in the distance. I think that could be an interesting fit. I think he would do great things at JMU. Don't think it's likely at all, but I just wanted to throw that name out to you.
I like that name. Yeah, I think he wasn't on my list, I think partially for those reasons. The other question that I think is actually kind of fascinating here for a guy like Bucky McMillan with Samford, the SoCon's like a conference that's better rated than the Sun Belt. I wonder how much that'll play into it. Obviously, I think JMU and the resources they have, the arena, they sort of stand out, I would say, among Sun Belt teams.
So I'm very glad you brought that up, because I talked about earlier conferences that I think could have some good coaches come out of it. SoCon is one of them. Mm-hmm. The SoCon has had some really, really solid coaches. I'm trying to look exactly at the list I put together, so bear with me for 1 second.
Lamont Paris is a recent one, right? He was at Chattanooga and then has South Carolina playing some pretty good basketball outside of the first round loss.
Lamont Paris has done a really good job at South Carolina. He was a name that I think you floated around for that during the Mark Byington hire, that hiring stage.
Probably.
UNC Greensboro's Mike Jones, he's been floated a lot. Wofford's former head coach, who's now the Virginia Tech head coach, Mike Young. I don't know if necessarily the Hokies are the barometer for success, but he hasn't failed with the Hokies.
I think he's a good coach, even though they haven't maybe achieved what they've hoped.
And Justin Gray, Western Carolina's head coach, was just hired to go to Coastal.
So I put my list together weeks ago when the rumors started that Byington was leaving, and you could see that they kept winning. Justin Gray was like my favorite of the list, right? He was at Western Carolina. Now he's at Coastal Carolina. It would be a sweet final move from Bourne to steal Coastal Carolina's head coach who hasn't coached a game. Highly unlikely, because it would burn some bridges pretty hard. But yeah, gosh, that would be – he's a great young coach.
All right, who's your next name?
All right, well, we got to throw out Matt Langle of Colgate. They've played in the NCAA tournament 5 of the last 6 years. The 1 year they didn't play, they were first in the Patriot League and COVID hit.
So
no one played. So basically the last 6 years, every NCAA tournament you could go to, he has led his team to it. You know, it would be cool to get back on Colgate, right?
That's the only reason.
I just think he's a really solid coach. They've kind of adjusted year-to-year tempo, which is interesting to me, where some years they've played pretty quick, other years they've slowed it down a lot. He seems like he adjusts well to his personnel, dominated the Patriot League. I think for him, the question would be, does he want to leave sort of the Northeast? Is JMU the right spot for him? I think he makes an okay salary at Colgate. The difference there is that like the Patriot League is just garbage. So if you can win in the Sun Belt, it actually is a pretty significant step up. If you can win at JMU and then also add that to winning at Colgate, if you have Power Six aspirations, JMU has proven itself across a ton of sports, right? They've sent like multiple women's tennis coaches to Power Five spots. Like if you win at JMU, you can get a Power Six opportunity. So I think that's sort of the intriguing thing for some of the younger guys like Langle.
My second one, because I like Langle.
Yeah.
You have this name too, and mm-hmm. I think this is a solid third option. Russell Turner, head coach for UC Irvine, the Anteaters. He's been there since 2011. He's been there for a long time. He's only ever been a head coach with the Anteaters. But you got that West Coast connection, the East Coast connection, a Roanoke native, an alum of Hampton, Sydney. You said in the article, does he want to come back home? That's a guy I'd love for them to call and see what he's feeling, because I think Russell Turner would be a good coach. UC Irvine was 80th in KenPom. They peaked as high as 73rd under him back in 2019, and that turned into a first-round win for the Anteaters. He's made the NCAA tournament twice, a 1-2 record.
I love him. I love Russell Turner. Shane Metlin was tweeting that I guess his wife has a great hospital job in that area and might not come because of that. I don't know exactly all the details there. You can rely on those reports. I don't know. I just think based on the resume, track record would be definitely worth sort of right kicking the tires on, see if there's any interest there.
For sure.
Okay. Bob Ritchie, Furman.
SoCon.
SoCon wins a lot, did not win a lot this year, but it talked about staying at Furman last year after they won an NCAA tournament game over Virginia. Kihei Clark, the pass over his head. Crazy finish. Unbelievable for Furman. He's won a lot. He's 156-71 at Furman, just 41 years old. Rising star in the coaching ranks. Is he going to leave? I don't know, because he could also leave from Furman to a power job at some point and might just want to wait there. I saw some people earlier had floated on the interwebs that he was getting paid like $2+ million, which was, I believe, an inaccurate report. So shout out to the Jamie message boards that like to troll us. Check your facts there, boys. But I think Richie would be a really interesting one if he's interested.
Great one. I got another one for you. Dan Earle.
Is that Cornell?
Head coach at Chattanooga. He took over for Lamont Paris. He's taken him from a 184 in KenPom in his first year, 140. Granted, that's only 2 years. But the kicker for Dan Earle, VMI, was the coach at VMI for 7 years before going over to Chattanooga, taking over for Lamont Paris. Could be interesting.
Hard to win at VMI. Really hard to win at VMI.
Very hard.
They can score. His teams can score.
Yes. They're fun.
I like- don't defend, but at least not yet. You never know.
I thought that was an interesting one. I was really focusing in on the SoCon because of this, my hypothesis of that. I believe they've really had some success with their coaches going on to other jobs. But kind of like you said, SoCon, in terms of metrics, is a better conference than the Sun Belt. And I think they have similar salaries.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting one. I was getting confused by Brian Earle, who was the coach at Cornell, left for William & Mary. And I think he could be the one to get it done there, take him to an NCAA tournament for the first time ever.
Okay, what's your next one?
Let's go with...
Oh, speaking of Ivy Leagues, I was thinking about James Jones, the Yale, but he's been there forever. He's a Northeast lifer. He is not leaving Yale.
He seems like he just loves it there. Yeah, that's a tough one. All right, let's go with this one. I think Shane also shot this one down, which is... just sounds like maybe he's not interested and loves Farmville, but Griff Aldrich at Longwood has been incredible there. They win a ton for their level, right? They've been really competitive, made the NCAA tournament this year. They also made it 2 years ago. He's a good one, done a really good job. He's got AAU experience. Sounds like maybe he's not actually interested, but good name.
I like that name. I got another name.
Hit me.
Eric Olin.
Where's he at?
Head coach of UC San Diego, an Alabama native. He's only ever been a coach at UC San Diego, whether it's an assistant or a head coach. He was a star at an NAIA school, then left his NAIA school after finishing his career, and was an assistant with UC San Diego. Took over for them, turned him into a Division II power.
Really
great, and he has led them very well into the Division I era. I believe this was their third year in Division I, and they finished second in the Big West. The only thing is, The reason I said Alabama native, his entire coaching career has been out West. Alabama's like the only time. So like you could convince yourself with Russell Turner that he'd want to come to JMU because he's a Roanoke native, even though he's been his entire career out West. Eric Olin's a little tough because Alabama's as close as he got.
We got to talk Robert Jones, Norfolk State. Done a really, 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 really nice
Daniel Merriman
job.
Said.
Yeah, really nice job there. I think mostly relative to conference peers. So they'll like win the MEAC and be like 270th in KenPom, which alarms me slightly. But if you watch them play, like they've been pretty fun to watch. I watched a few of their games this year. Fun team. They've been competitive. And I think sort of the thing there, right? If you go from Norfolk State to JMU, the access to resources to higher level players obviously skyrockets. So if you can win at Norfolk State and you can beat up on conference peers, theoretically, you have better athletes do some of the similar things. You can probably win in the Sun Belt.
All right. I got one more for you. Then I got a couple of just like rapid fire ones.
Love it.
Billy Gillespie.
Gillespie.
Gillespie. I knew I was going to mispronounce
Where is he now? Isn't he at like Tarleton State?
He's at Tarleton State. He's turned him into like a respectable WAC team.
And what does he get paid?
I don't know. I just thought that was funny because UTEP experience turned him into a power, 41st in KenPom when he left, then took over Texas A&M, got them to 7th in KenPom, then left for Kentucky, had middling success there, took 3 years off of coaching, was at Texas Tech for 1 year. They were abysmal, took 9 years off, and ended up at Tarleton State and has been there for the last four.
He's the man.
He would be a very, very interesting splash. It's like when you're trying to do a cannonball to really get the whole pool's attention, but you accidentally land on your back and it's like, oh, what is he doing?
He had a medical leave and it seems like he missed a lot of the season, but is cleared or something. I don't really know what the deal with that is. He would be the most electric one on the list, and it's not even close. Power five experience, questions about health, wins a lot. Completely out of left field. I might be all in on that. That'd be sweet.
Jeff it'd be just like, so out of left field. Just okay. All right. Anyone else for you?
Okay. I'll fire out a couple ones. Who did I miss? Mike Jones. I think you mentioned earlier briefly UNCG was at Radford and was floated in the cycle. He's had a bunch of like really solid teams, but hasn't had the same level of like high end success as some of these guys.
Okay. I like it.
So I was all aboard the Mike Jones train when we hired Byington.
I know you were.
So I'm an idiot. Byington worked out great. And then Joe Gallo, another one you had mentioned, right? The leading someone from a different division. He's Merrimack's head coach, has taken them into Division I very nicely. They've won the NEC regular season title three times since 2020. They won the conference tournament last year, I think, but couldn't get in due to the ridiculous transition rules. So it'd be nice to have somebody who knows about the transition challenges and could just like relate to the fans about that, talk about football, talk about basketball. But he's done a nice job with them. He's a winner. And then, of course, Donnie Jones. That's Stetson. Sources are indicating.
Sources are saying he wants to make a hard push for it.
Interesting name, right? Took Stetson to the dance this year. Had a really nice, quick little time at Marshall and then also coached at UCF for 6 years and led him to 321 seasons before sort of sputtering there. Wouldn't expect him to be necessarily the top name, but a good sign when somebody like that is pushing for it.
Saw people throwing out some names. One, Diddy Streaming. I'm sure you guys will hate this, but if Memphis lets go of Penny Hardaway, he's got to be an option. Great recruiter, mediocre coach. I wouldn't hate it.
I don't want Penny. He's got so many off the court things that would bother me. But.
Fun answer. Luke Murray, an assistant at UConn. Micah Shumate. So sorry, Mike. I'm really bad at names. Jeff Lebo, a UNC assistant. I like assistants. I don't think Bourne will go assistant.
Assistant would be interesting. Yeah, if you get a high level assistant. Yeah, Bourne seems to love head coaches.
It's an interesting name thrown out. Lavelle Moten from NC Central.
Done a nice job. They've kind of tailed off a little bit the last few years. They had a stretch there where they were like in the big dance like every year, and that seems to have cooled. But he's He can win basketball games. Kind of similar, I think, to Robert Jones, where like they win at their level, they win at their conference. If you gave them more resources, they would be really interesting. Yeah.
Okay, I have like five names. I'm just gonna throw at you. I want your quick take. Alan Huss, High Point.
Would be great, right? Creighton assistant, had a lot of success there. High Point won like 25 yeah. games, maybe.
Mm-hmm. They were really good. They were the best team according to KenPom in the Big South.
Okay, I'm gonna add him. I'll add him to the list, and we'll update the list occasionally this week. I'll add Alan Huss to the list. He's got to be on there.
Mike Morrill, UNC Asheville.
Had him on my preliminary list. Was even listening to interviews that he did like in February, like a sicko. So he would be a good one. I probably could have included him. They've done a nice job.
John Becker, Vermont's head coach.
Wins a ton. So like, yeah, if John Becker's interested, definitely.
Joe Pasternak.
Where's he at?
UC Santa Barbara.
There are so many, all those UC teams are like actually sneaky good.
That's what I've learned from this research.
They definitely took a dip this year.
They took
year.
A big dip. They weren't very good this year.
But they've and been yeah, okay. I think
he's fine.
Yeah. Probably not candidate number one, that's for sure.
All right. I don't know what he's getting paid, but I feel like this man is just hates where he is right now. I have no reasoning to believe that. It's a vibe. I also would hate this high.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
There.
Say Tony Bennett.
Will Wade.
Will Wade would be sick.
Back to JMU. He was at VCU for 2 years, Chattanooga for 2 years. Yeah. This man is the master of just trying to move ever so slightly upward to leverage himself back into the P6. He went Chattanooga, VCU. I believe was he the first coach to take over post Shaka?
I think so. He
started VCU in 16, got two NCAA tournament berths, then took over for LSU in 18.
He was that the first. Was
McNeese. This last year, McNeese is one of the few conferences that is worse than the Sun Belt, and like. Worse by a large margin. So, could be interesting.
It could be very, very interesting. I'd love to see you go after Calipari, right? Kentucky's pissed at him. Make a push for him. He's going to get you dogs.
Are there any coaches that you just like, just complete dart throws that you don't think would come, but like...
I do think there are probably some like failed Power Five coaches. Somebody had mentioned like Mark Turgeon, I think, on our website at Maryland.
Yeah.
That would be super interesting, where it's like they've gone through a bunch of stuff, had some success maybe at a mid-major, was okay at a P5, but didn't quite meet expectations. Because that kind of person I feel like would stay longer, which is maybe I'm just so burned from some of the coaching departures that it's like it'd be sick. If a basketball coach stayed for like a decade and was good and could really build the program up.
Yeah. And you've seen that success with Shaka Smart, right? All the success at VCU goes to Texas, doesn't really have that success at that level, falls back down to a quote unquote kind of mid-major esque. I mean, it's a Big East team.
Give them power. They're not Texas. But it's not Texas. Yeah.
Yeah. Goes back to like a basketball only school where you can really just focus on that. And he's had extreme success. So maybe Turgeon's one. Maybe kick the tires on Matt Brady.
Bring them back. Just run back like a Roe, Brady, Staff.
Oh, God, please, no.
They've got some options, though, which I think will be interesting. I mean, they've got, you know.
How important is this hire? Because the Roe hire was fumbled, and it set the program back, I think, 10 years. And I think the Byington hire was so good, it then accelerated what the Roe hire had done. Bourne, I know we really hype up Bourne for good reason. He's nailed hire after hire after hire. For football, he has not hired basketball extremely well. Byington was a great hire. The Brady decision was a little interesting. Into the Roe hire was a little weird. He hasn't handled baseball, I think, as well as maybe we have come to hope. He's hired some of the Olympic sports at a very good clip. They've gone on to become Power Five coaches. But I'm not trying to discredit Bourne here. I'm just saying, like, I'm not as 100% confident in this hire as I was football. I knew they were going to get a winner who will likely have them in the conversation to win the Sun Belt this year. I don't know if I can say the same for basketball next year.
I think that's a great point and well said. I've seen so many JMU fans, and I love the attitude, saying like, it's all going to be totally fine. They're going to nail the hire. They always do. And I'm like, do they? Definitely not for men's basketball. I also think, I guess on the bright side, right, they're in a much better position now where I think the candidates they're attracting are higher level candidates. And I think given the talent across mid-majors, nothing's a sure thing. This feels like it'd be hard to F up. Like, you have a great facility. You're playing in a league that honestly is not that good. Like, if you get a competent coach, you should absolutely be in the mix for Sun Belt titles and being a top 100 program. It'd be really disappointing if they don't have that, given the athletic department's like financial resources and what they've thrown at trying to be good. I'm more concerned, I think, overall, where fans are like, you know what? We reload. President, AD, those are gigantic hires in a very unstable time, that it's going to be kind of fascinating to see. Like, it could work perfectly, but it's also not a guarantee that they're going to totally nail everything.
Yeah. Tim asked, this hire is critical. Wonder how the AD search will affect this hire. I mean, I agree. I wonder too, because do you maybe not get as cream of the crop as you necessarily would have if you have an entrenched athletic director that they can trust? Maybe are you getting maybe a potential step down, maybe half a step down, because a coach like Langle from Colgate may not want to leave his surefire thing to come to an athletic director who won't be there when he starts his first season. I think it was a similar thing they ran into with Chesney. They got, I believe Chesney was their number one guy. They got him. So they must have a way to maybe quell that worry.
I think that's a lot easier in football, because the way to quell it is like Withers left quickly, Houston left quickly, Cignetti could have left quicker if he wanted to. Like, if you're Chesney, I don't think Chesney's long-term. Do you really need to have like some outstanding long-term relationship with the new AD?
Yeah,
probably not. And you've got all the resources to just like hit the ground, win, take a P5.
Maybe I'm spiraling on this side of the computer right now, Bennett, so I might need you to help me here, or maybe we might just feed into each other and go down a death spiral and people will complain about us more on message boards. 25 years, Jeff Bourne was the head man. He held on to Sherman Dillard for far too long. He inherited Sherman Dillard.
Yeah.
Sherman Dillard's best year was 173rd in KenPom. He was there until 2004. His then next hire was Dean Keener, who never had more than 5 conference wins. His next hire was into Matt Brady, which was fine. 1 NCAA tournament appearance, an NCAA tournament win in the first 4, but could never really truly get over that hump. Most conference wins was a 12-win 2015 year. And that was a year they didn't even make the NCAA tournament. Then you hire Lou Rowe. You hold on to him for 4 years. Most conference wins for him came in year one with 7. 2 postseason wins for Lou Rowe. Then you strike gold with Mark Byington. You go to the well, you figure some stuff out, and you hit gold. You strike it rich. But that is a tough track record for me to just erase with one great hire.
Yeah, tough to assume that it's just going to go great, right? I think you can't assume that anywhere. It's also, I don't know, it's just, I think they should be able to nail it, but yeah. Nothing's a sure thing. And I think it's a fair point that Tim raised that, yeah, it's going to probably be a little bit harder to convince somebody when you don't know who the athletic director is. And then we see Thomas here in the comments saying, hopefully none of the players follow him. Brown, Kerry, Horton, etc. I think if they don't follow him, I wouldn't be surprised if they at least tested their options in the portal. And also, just to be really fair to all of them, if that's something they do, which we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves there and a little speculative, but like the chance to play in the SEC and to get a Vanderbilt degree, fairly tempting, I would assume, right? That carries a ton of weight. I don't know. Like, that's a good place to get a degree from if you're going to pick a school that, like, you could also play reasonably high-level hoops at.
Sidelines, JMU. It's a very attractive job, and we have more money to pay than ever before. Also a great point. I think, like Bennett said earlier in the podcast, they're in a spot they've never been in before. They probably have their line ringing off the hook with well overqualified people for this job. They're going to have their pick. It'll be interesting to see how it goes from there. So this is a position they've never been in before.
I do think they can, and it's going to be tough, but I still think they can springboard this in a really positive way, where if you bring in an athletic director who's fundraising focused, knows what he's doing, or whatever he or she knows what they're doing, can engage the fan base, the donors, that's going to be key. A president, right, that they can do the same. If you have that and you have sort of, maybe not entirely an athletic focus, but if those people are really aligned on their values for what athletics should be, and they're trying to drive JMU forward, you've also got Chesney's a stud. Like, I think he's a rock star. And then you add a men's basketball coach who could also be really, really good. You could have an incredible next year with new faces and continue building something really impressive where you become legitimately one of the best, like most well-known, well-respected mid-majors in the country at a time when some other conferences could sort of be fracturing the ACC, which I think would be interesting. So if they nail the hires, right, we're talking about some fear of like, oh, these are big hires. If they nail it, it could be a pretty incredible 5 or 10 year stretch.
Yeah. I mean, if they nail it, they could be in the ACC.
Right. It's not out of the realm of possibility. And I don't think we're unhappy in the Sun Belt. I think
I love the Sun Belt. I don't really want to leave the Sun Belt. I like the regional rivalries. I like everything. Because also, if you're going to the ACC, you're going into a fractured ACC, which is going to be vastly different than what it is now. So I love the Sun Belt. But like, college sports is changing every single day. We don't know what it's going to look like at this time next year. And so position yourself to be where you want to be as a university.
Yeah, and it could very well be that like other Sun Belt schools, like an App State or someone else, also get poached by a new look AC. Like, it doesn't. You just want to be
maybe get poached by JMU.
You want to be Dusty Kearns. Here's the name to monitor.
You just Brian Hodgson from Alabama, from Arkansas State.
You just want to be in a strong position in the next few years because shit's gonna go crazy.
It's gonna get crazy. It already is getting crazy. All right. Anything else you got to add about everything that's been happening in the last 48 hours?
It's going to have to happen very quickly because the portal is open and active. So the hire, similar to football, is going to be like snap, snap, snap.
I'll give it a week and then I'll start getting upset.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess be patient, Jamie fans. Start tracking those flights. I think the flight tracking, to be honest, was extremely inaccurate and bad during the football coach search.
I'll take ownership of that. I was not very good at it. It was my first time. It was my first time.
No, I think everyone, though. but it made it hilarious and exciting. So I think really bad flight tracking again would be great. I'd love to wake up tomorrow morning and have some people thinking that we're like going out to visit Morehead State's coach, which don't sleep on Morehead State's coach.
What's his name? What's his name?
Mr. Morehead State.
What's his name?
Let me find it because they were 114 in KenPom. Preston Spradlin.
Okay.
They've been a top 150 team 3 of the last 4 years, made the NCAA tournament 2 of the last 4 years.
Okay.
He had them at, they were 316 in KenPom in 2020. They were 114 this year. So
I don't hate that. Add him to the list.
Add him to the list. I've seen him on some lists. Name to monitor. Morehead State wins a ton of basketball. They go slow, though. And I don't know after seeing Byington, the pace and wanting to go to games, the crowds are crazy.
I saw someone float Ron Sanchez. No. No, I would revolt.
Would you take Tony Bennett?
No. I don't want to play that style of basketball.
Being unwatchable.
I don't want to win a national champ. No, I would actually, I'd be upset if they hired Tony Bennett.
I think Hurley would be an interesting call.
Dan or Bobby?
Dan.
What about Dan. Richard Pitino out at New Mexico? What about Rick Pitino?
I think you have to pitch like the Hurleys and the Pitinos of like, you're the four coaches.
No, you pitch them
all-star cast. All-star cast. And we do a documentary about you guys. And you have to obviously pitch somebody else to do that because we're not going to do that in-house. That's going to be time suck. But you pitch a documentary. Netflix does it. Somebody does it. Patino's Hurley's. They're both coaching. That'd be sick. And then you get like Saban and Belichick once Chesney gets a P5 job after taking him to the college football playoff.
This got off the rails a lot quicker than I thought it was going to get off the rails. That was pretty impressive. That was record time.
Took me an hour.
Anything else? Anything else you gotta add?
No, I'm excited. I mean, it's not what I wanted to be excited about, but you know, next head coach, program history would be interesting. Becky Hammon.
Don't hate it. Don Staley.
I would pay so much money for Don Staley to be our head coach.
You would pay her salary personally.
Yeah. I hope she likes like $1,500 a year because it's just trying to budget. But I'll chip in that.
That's what I got in my budget. Remember Seth Greenberg?
Wojo. That's a good one. He was at Marquette most recently. Is that right?
Yes.
I think that's right. How bad was Marquette when he left?
When did
Steve Wojo? He was only at Marquette? Why did I think he was somewhere else? He was an assistant at Duke for a long time. Went to Marquette and they were never great, but made a pair of NCAA tournaments. I could sell myself on that.
He took over after Buzz Williams left.
What does he do now? He is the head coach of a G League team.
Was it a fever dream or was Seth Greenberg, the ESPN analyst, floated around the JMU job when Mark Byington was hired?
I think he was. And then Ralph Sampson.
Yeah, Ralph Sampson was too.
Ralph Sampson said he wanted to be considered. It was like, no, you haven't coached anyone, I don't think, ever. Why? He's like, I live in the area, so it'd be easy. It was like, oh my God. That'd be sweet. Chip Warren was like, it would be easy. You're right. He's a Harrisonburg guy, though. Maybe you get him as an assistant. I'd be all in as an assistant. He was a JMU assistant way back in the day.
Ralph Sampson was?
For like for lefty. And then he was briefly with the Phoenix Suns.
Oh, sideline said Doug Gottlieb. Now get that out of here. He can stay on Fox Sports Radio.
Keep your credit card secured.
That was so rude. All right. For Bennett Conlin, I'm Jack Fitzpatrick.
Who are you?
Did I say Jack Fitzpatrick?
I'm going to go back and listen when it's over. Okay. It sounded like you said you were like Pat Fitzpatrick or something.
Okay. For Bennett Conlin, I'm Jack Fitzpatrick. Thank you so much for tuning into the JMU Sports News Podcast presented by Bet Online. We'll be updating the head coaching candidate list over on
JMU. Yeah, we put Alan Huss in.
You'd put it on during the episode.
I'll put it in right now. I'll put it in right now.
All right. So for Bennett Conlin, I'm Jack Fitzpatrick. You can follow along with all of that at jmusportsnews.com. everything like that. You can follow us at Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, JMU Sports News. It's that everywhere. And wherever you're listening, be sure to like, rate, subscribe, leave a review. We would greatly appreciate that. And yeah, we'll see you guys next week, hopefully with some updates. Maybe there might be an emergency podcast dropped in there, depending on how fast this search goes. Have a wonderful rest of your Monday. Have a wonderful rest of your week. See you guys.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.